Well, good morning, church family. How's everybody doing? Well, good. Well, I'm excited because our mission team, it's okay. I've said this before. It's okay if the church is somewhat a little empty because if the church is empty for the right reasons, I'm all for it. And it's good to know that we got an incredible team that is down at the border of Mexico. Been doing work, and I'm excited for them next week. I will take a pause, and you will hear from the mission team next week, and you'll see, I believe, a video and hear some testimonies of people, and I've already gotten a report, and I'm not going to give it away, but some pretty amazing things that have already happened, and so I won't steal their thunder. I will, as much as I want to, they shouldn't have texted me, but no, I'll let them have their report, but you're going to want to be here next week to be able to hear that, and I'll continue on with my series as I started a couple weeks ago, talking about It's Time. We're on the third part of this series, and It's Time, and I just want to mention this really quick as I get started, that oftentimes a message like this, as much as rated G we always want to be, there are times in messages, and know my heart on this, that sometimes it can get kind of heavy. In messages like this, sometimes it can get where you have to know your audience, and you have to be careful with some of the things that you say, because sometimes in the Bible, when you read things and you're like, wow, I had no idea that was in the Bible. Have y'all ever been there before? I mean, it happens to me all the time. I was like, seriously, that's there? And that's there? And my goodness, I didn't know that was there. And you learn stuff all the time, and then you're like, wow, man, that's pretty hard, or that's pretty deep. But you realize, no matter what, it's still God's Word. And so, as your pastor, I still would like to still approach this message. I could go to a very high extreme, but because of the audience, I want you to know I'm still going to try to keep it G, and I'm going to still try to keep it in terms of what children and what our youth and to be honest with you, guests and people that maybe that have not been believers for a long time. The bottom line is this. This is not sometimes a message that is the most popular thing. When you wake up and you're ready to go to church and you're like, man, I'm in a good mood and I can't wait to worship and to see people and to learn about God's word and you walk out and everybody's shaking hands and they're hugging and you're like, where are you going to eat? Where are you going? And I can't wait to watch the game and you're excited. And well, sometimes in messages, sometimes it can be a little harder to hear. And this is one of those messages. So, as lighthearted as I'm going to try to keep this to be, I want you to know, I'm prefacing this to let you know that I know that this has been coveted with a lot of prayer. As I wrote and as I'm preparing and as I began to look at this series on why it's time. On why the mission of us, why our missionaries have left, why people, what we need to know that how important it is for us to understand what's out there in this world and why our world is the way that it is. Why I am, why you are, and why our neighbors and why our workplaces, why our schools, why things happen the way that they do. We need to fully kind of understand what's going on. And it's time. It's time. 75 years ago, the United States was at war with one of the greatest and the most evil enemies that we had ever seen. The Nazi Germany, led by Adolf Hitler, it was an extremely dangerous opponent. He was upset from World War I as he saw how his country was crumbling, how it was in debt, how it owed money, how it lost it. It didn't do things the way that they wanted to do. So you had a man that was rose up through this extreme political party, and he had one mission and one mission only. And that was to basically is to conquer the world through his evil attacks and through his agenda and his personal agendas or how he was doing it. Not so necessary just for his country, but really actually for him. Matter of fact, he was on par for basically to taking on the whole entire world. And it was on D-Day, the invasion of Normandy, on June 6, 1944, that literally proved to be an historic turning point in the war against the Germans in Europe. And there were still many hard battles that was going on still to fight. One of the most notable ones, one of the ones that really stick out the most, is the one that came out as a complete surprise. In December of 1944, the Germans came back with this counterattack that we still call, and we many of us of, that love history, and I love history, I teach history, called the Battle of the Bulge. This became one of, out of the two most costly ones, this was probably the second most costly battle for the United States during World War II. Get your mind around this. 89,500. 89,500. 20,876 people were just killed in this one battle. 42,893 was wounded. 23,554 was captured or still missing in action. 89,500 people were killed, wounded, missing, captured, and over 1,000 aircrafts was lost during this battle. And as you look at this war, and as people who a lot smarter than me have studied about wars and looked back and said, what was the leading causes for this big of attack, for this biggest problem? Generals have looked back. Historians have looked back. And they, many of them come back with two main things that has created this main issue. And this is the lesson that they learned. Overconfidence mixed with complacency. Overconfidence mixed with complacency. And when I began to study this and I began to look at that, I started looking at the spiritual lives of the people, of the 7.6 billion people that I talked about over the past 2 weeks. When we go through life and when we go through our schools and we go through work, when we're just doing life out of the 7.6 billion, when we're feeling a little bit confident, maybe overconfident, when we become complacent in our every single day life, and we're not focusing on spiritual things, when we're not focusing on His Word, when we're not focusing on prayer, it's either one, we are overconfident with whatever we think is going on, that we're good, or we have become complacent. Now, of course, United States was still is the most powerful and the most amazing country and the greatest military ever. I'm a little prejudiced about it, but that's... It is. And it was. But they were still willing to make the attack. They were still willing to say, I'm going to try to conquer the world. They were still willing to say, at whatever cost, because there was a huge cost on them too, by the way, they said, I'm still willing to go. We may not know how the world's going to end, the war's going to end, but we're still going on the attack. And spiritually speaking, their overconfidence with complacency here in the United States, it cost us. 2-1 was outmatched. Twice as many tanks, twice as many troops. Literally in minutes, they pushed us back what is called the actual bulge. It brought us back. It created the actual bulge. And you'll be seeing pictures as it comes through here in a second. Of different impressions and different things that I want to for you to just to be able to capture. As believers, we've also had our D-Day spiritually speaking. When Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, he cried out, "It is finished." He cried out that it was finished because the battle was over. The victory had been won. And for us as Christians, for us as believers in Christ, one of the greatest things that we can know is that Jesus Christ, when he came and he died on this cross, victory was won. It wasn't something that Satan wanted. It's something that his Father wanted. His Father wanted him to come down so that we would be able to have some access, so we would have some type of bridge to cross over from the world and from sin to be able to cross over to eternal life. So if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, if it wasn't this bridge, this cross, no one would have the opportunity to be able to receive Jesus and to live with him because of sin. One sin separates us from all eternity. One sin. And so Satan did not want that to happen. Satan is willing to go up against that. He was willing to fight against that in so many different ways. For 33 years, he tried to stop it. With King Herod, he tried to wipe away all the two-year-olds and under. They went after him. He was trying to figure out who's trying to become king. And it was a terrible time. A terrible time. Can someone check on her? Make sure she's okay. You okay? No, you're fine. I just want to make sure you're okay. Okay. But here's the truth. We got to take care of our own, right? It's okay. We're gonna make sure everybody's okay. But here's the truth. Today, in the year 2020, even though the head of the serpent, Genesis 3:15, even though the head of the serpent was crushed, he could still attack. Even though the head of the serpent was crushed, Genesis 3:15, the head was crushed. He could still attack. He could still attack. And if you would take your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I want to take you to a scripture that the Apostle Paul and my sermon entitled, that we need to armor up. If you don't have your Bibles, that's okay. It will be up on the screen. But let's let the throne of grace hear the turning of the pages, because he loves that noise. It's like literally, it's like a beautiful song to him. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. I'll be reading out of the NLT. You read out of your version. From the Apostle Paul, the whole armor of God. It says a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all, that means every bit of it, all of God's armor, so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies, I'll come back to that, of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and against authorities and of the unseen world, against mighty powers, and in this dark world, and against the evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, church, putting on the belt of truth and the body of armor of God's righteousness. For your shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, which is the Bible, so that you will be able to be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil, and put on the salvation of your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is, again, the Word of God, which is, again, the Word of God. And 18, pray in all the Spirit at all times, and on every single occasion, stay alert, and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. We are at war. We are at war. And it's a world war. And it's happening in China. It's happening in Africa. It's happening down at the border of Mexico right now. It's happening in Garland, Texas. It happens in Heath. It happens in the rich, and it happens in the poor. We are at war spiritually. And it's not just the recent wars and fighting against oppressions and other people like the Adolf Hitlers, the people of Iran or North Korea or people of Afghanistan. It's of any people that do not have the likeness, the like-mindedness to be able to say that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Many of these places, as well as North Korea, they are Lord and Savior. You can't live, you can't do anything on a totalitarian type of government, a dictatorship like that. You can't live, you can't breathe, you can't experience anything in terms of Christ. And so being able to go there, just in a place like that, chances are you will be martyred, you will be killed for your faith. There are people sitting in prison in North Korea today that will probably, unless the hand of God helps them, they will never be able to be free. They're used as pawns at this point in time. And these things are a sad reality. It's a spiritual war. Watch this one, what the scripture just said. It's a spiritual war, but it's one that is not seen until it becomes too late. Did everybody hear that? It's one that is not seen. The devil is on the attack. It could happen in our workplaces. It could happen in our schools. And by all means, it could happen in our churches. It could happen in our homes. In church family, it could happen even in our own hearts. The things that we face each day, yeah, you can turn on the news and you can see the tragedy of things and people that are willing to come into a school or come into a church and do massacre and do things and take people out. It's a horrible thing. It's not something popular to talk about. I don't really want to talk about it, but you know what? It's time. It's time to make sure that we understand. You know what? We're about to celebrate the life and the birth and the cause of one of the greatest heroes of all time. Martin Luther King Jr., he wasn't a perfect man by any stretch of the imagination, but he was a chosen man. I believe without a doubt that this guy was chosen, just like many people that we see all throughout in our world. This guy was chosen to fight against adversaries, against things that were so racist and discrimination and so many hard things that they had to face. And he became a martyr for the cause, for the greater good of this world. The devil is on the attack. The devil is on the offensive. The devil is on full alert. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. See, we already know the outcome of World War II, don't we? We already know that, right? At that time, they didn't know the outcome. Here's something else that's a great news. You're right, because we need some good news right now. I'm going to mix some good news and some hard stuff, okay? Because I don't want us all like, my goodness, you are right. This is depressing. We already know the outcome of this war, this spiritual war, too. Amen. Okay? We already know it. We already got the victory that he already stomped ahead. The problem is he can still bite. The problem is that he can still attack because God is allowing that to happen. The time is going to happen where his time is going to come up. And God's going to say, it is finished once. And he's going to say again, it is finished, you're done. But right now, he's allowing things to happen on his timing, in his way. And so even though we now can rest assured that we won World War II, we can also be under the understanding and the knowing the victory that we also, as believers in Christ, we will also win the war in this spiritual darkness, in this spiritual war against our adversary for those who have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you have not trusted the Lord, then the battle is continuing. The battle goes on because it is a fight for your soul. I'm just going to tell you the way it really is. This whole entire thing is all a battle for your soul. Everything. Even though you're going to work, it's still a battle for your soul. Even though you're going to school, it's still a battle for your soul. Even when we are rocking our babies, from day one, it is a battle for their soul. Even when you're on your last, taking your last breath in your deathbed, it is a battle for your soul. Even when you go to camps and on mission trips for youth, it is a battle for their soul. And that's why there is so much spiritual stuff that goes on at all these places, because it is a battle for your soul. It's a spiritual warfare. And anybody that can take your mind and your hearts and your ears and your and everything off of Jesus Christ and distract you with all these other things, then he's winning. He's winning. We know who's going to win, but how many people have to die in the battle of the bulge before we realize overconfidence and complacency is going to take that many people? We're America and we're great, but we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We fall short. Revelation 20:10 says this: the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and the brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. I quote the Apostle John. On the Isle of Patmos, the revelation, it was unveiled, it was revealed back. He was able to get a glimpse of what heaven was like, and he was being able to see what the church is and what the world is going to be like and what's coming its way. And I already talked to you about apostasy the past two weeks and false teachers and false people. It's time for us to know the truth. It's time for us to pick up the word. And it's time for us to realize it's a fight and a battle for your souls and for your friends' souls and your family souls. It is. And it's time for us to do something, but we can know with the victory what we just read in Revelation 22, he said there's going to be a day. That's it for him. No more. No more. So Ephesians, one thing that we can learn from Ephesians, and I'll be getting into more later on in the weeks to come. The first thing I want you to understand is that we need to know who our enemy is. It's important to know who our adversary is. But it's also important for you to know who he's not. He is not what in medieval times, what they created was this little picture of this cartoon. From the medieval times, they didn't know how to actually draw up who this adversary, who Satan was. So the best thing that they could come up with, and again, I'm making this rated G today for us, okay, because of our audience. I want you to understand that this was their depiction. This was their depiction of a pitchfork and horns and a goofy looking tail. And so people have, since the medieval times and the Renaissance period of time, they have created all these paintings of what they envisioned, what this must be like for the devil. And so people get this in their minds that he's this cartoonish type of character, that he plays really no role, that he's just on your left side and your angel's on your right side. And if you make a bad decision, well, the devil made me do it. No, he probably didn't. You were probably going to do it anyway. I want you to understand, if you're already doing sinful things, you don't need to worry about him being on your left side. He's got bigger fish to fry. You understand? You're doing exactly what he wants you to do anyway. Understand? You can't say that. You need to say, no, it's me. There's a big difference between what Satan's doing and what you are doing. We have to stop and say, well, the devil made me do it. No, the devil allowed you to do that. Matter of fact, the devil's over there doing other things because he's got bigger fish to fry to take down other people that are actually walking with the Lord. If you're not walking with the Lord, why does he need to waste his time on you? You're doing exactly what he wants you to do. You're already away from the Lord. He's a roaring lion. Scripture tells us. He's prowling. He's looking. He's looking for someone to destroy emotionally, physically, spiritually. And if he's willing to come after Jesus Christ, trust me, he has no problem coming after you. Turn to Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11 really quick. I'm going to get to this really quick. I'm going to say that again. If he's willing to go to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the most powerful person in the world, then he's willing to come after you. Matthew 4, 1 through 11, you may be thinking, really? He really actually went against Jesus? This is before Jesus began his ministry. Watch this. When Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, this word tempted actually is a Greek word that doesn't mean necessarily to be tempted, but actually to mean testing. Okay, he's testing. It's a testing. Okay, you may see it in tempting, but the actual Greek word is actually more times it actually is holding on to the word of testing through this. There will be to be tested or to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. There's the human side of Jesus Christ. And during that time, the devil came and said to him, remember, he is making the move. He is pursuing him. Meaning, devil, Satan, is moving towards Jesus Christ. If you are the Son of God, then tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Since you're so hungry, let's eat. It's time to eat. But Jesus said to him, told him, no. The scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Took a break. The devil is ready to go again. Then the devil took him up to the holy city. Again, pursued him. To the holy city of Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, then jump off. Prove that you're the Messiah. Prove that you are truly God in the flesh. Let's see your miracles. For the scripture says, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, and you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Pause. Third time. Jesus responded, the scriptures also said, you must not test the Lord your God. Here's your Greek word. Next, the devil took him to the peak of the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms, basically all the splendor of the world, all the glory, even though he already created it all. But see, the problem is, even though he is the owner, he is the perfecter, he is the great creator of all things, Satan, this is his house. He is the prince of this world. And so he's saying, I will give you everything. I will give you the whole kingdom. Isn't that ironic? Isn't that crazy to think that he's that arrogant, coming in to tell him that Jesus Christ, he can have these kingdoms? And I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and you worship me. And verse 10 says, get out of here, Satan. Why? Because it's in Jesus' name. Jesus' power. It's all in Jesus' name that Sal sang about. It's all in his name, Jesus told him. For the scripture says you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Commandment number one. Commandment number two. Then the devil finally went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. If he's willing to come after Jesus Christ, he has no problem coming after us. And one of the frightening things is not so much about that, but the frightening thing is out of 7.6 billion people here on earth today, so many people will give into this world without even knowing. So many people will give into his testing and his temptation without even knowing. So many people will give into their own flesh without them knowing that he has methodically been setting so many things up. Yes, he's in a hurry because it's time for him to get done, but yet his strategies are so methodical. He has no problem doing whatever he needs to do. And sometimes we see it on the wall, we can see it coming, and sometimes we have no idea. Satan knows his time is short. Luke 22:31, it's not going to be up there, but watch this. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might even sift you out like wheat. That's encouraging, huh? Well, let's hear the encouraging part. Verse 32, right after that. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. What, church? I have overcome the world. Revelation 12:12b says, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that his time is short. Because he knows that his time is short. When we look back at Ephesians chapter 11, we can look back and it says this, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies, against all schemes, against all methods, against all wiles. This whole entire Greek word here literally means methodio. The whole idea of methodio, just being able to say, I got lots of stuff in my tool belt. I got lots of schemes. I got lots of methods. And during the war, the Germans were also using methods, different schemes in their arsenal to be able to fight against the United States. And one of them, at their deal, they were smart enough to use leaving the weather. They used weather. They were smart enough to look and say, what would help us the most? How many of you guys have ever heard of what's called the autumn mist? The famous autumn mist. Literally, during this time right here, they were waiting for a low-pressure system to come. They were waiting it out. Here, a book about it. The autumn mist. Waiting for a low-pressure system, waiting for it to get foggy, waiting for it to get cold, waiting for the clouds to cover so that they cannot be detected. And what happened? They created a massive attack. And they never saw it coming. So they launched their attack at 5 a.m. on December 16th. A surprise attack. A catastrophic attack. A lot of times when the devil is going to attack, it's not going to look like he is coming with his pitchfork. That's the way we look at it in the world. We sometimes think it's just so cartoonish and like, well, I just don't believe in that kind of stuff. It's just, I don't know. I never see it, never hear it, and then they talk about it, and I'm just not, it's just, it's all silly. It's just, it's fairy tale. Y'all seriously, y'all believe in that? Do you really believe in the devil? And we look at it that way. Methodical, patient, premeditated, calculated, hands-on. Don't take my word for it. Take the scriptures. Job. If you haven't read Job, you should. David, Peter, John, Paul, and of course Jesus Christ, as I just told you. Verse 12, as I close, I'm getting done here. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, against the authorities of what, church? The unseen world, against the mighty powers in this dark world, against the evil spirits in the heavenly places. Can I just show you really quick? You have our world right here. Okay, and in our world right here, you have what's known as the spiritual, the Elohim. The Elohim is up. What we think of just being Jesus Christ. Well, it's not just Jesus Christ. Elohim, it covers literally the angels, the demonic beings. Ever since the time with the fallen angels that came down with Satan when he wanted to be like God, the Elohim, the covering of the spiritual world, literally covers and encompasses the whole entire world. So when you have our world, you also have a spiritual world that is covering it. And that's what it's saying. That's what Paul is saying here. It's not like something is going on in heaven and something is going on over here, or heaven and hell. Does everybody understand that? Seriously, it's all right here. Not there, not there, not there, not just down there. Here. And that's why I'm talking about this today. In Matthew 16, it says, from the time that Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. And then what's going to happen to him? He was going to be killed. He was going to be crucified and raised on the third day. And then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. He was rebuking Peter, the rock, Petra, is going to rebuke Jesus when he's telling the disciples what I'm coming here, why I'm here. I'm coming here so I can die for the sins of the world, so that you will be with me forever and ever. And then Peter's like, no. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus Christ, saying, far be it from you, Lord, that this should ever happen to you. What a good heart, man, he had him. Peter was like, no way. You know his heart, because he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, really chopping off the guy's ear. He was fighting for Jesus Christ. He was saying, no way. And then watch this. But he turned and said to Peter, I quote Jesus Christ, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. I quote. Basically, he was telling him, look, you don't understand. I know your heart, but I'm coming here because I love you and I love a whole entire world. And if you try to keep me from dying on the cross, then you're like Satan, keeping and moving me away from God's plan. And can I just tell you guys, there are the greatest and the nicest people you will ever meet that will still not be a part of God's plan because of things that their motive may be seem like it's good, but it's shifted. It's out of God's will. We have to show discernment. We have to look at wisdom. We got to be in prayer and understanding. Is that God's will or is that your will? Remember, it's his will be done, not my will. And I wanted to point this out and show you this. From the very lips of Peter, it's been going on. Hard part, okay? And I'm trying to get done. Hard part. Who's behind this? Well, Satan was behind Peter. Who's behind this? Who do you think is behind the whole idea of the abortion movement? Who do you think is behind the LGBT rights? Who do you think is behind the changing of doctrine or creating more denominations where people are splitting things up because of views and not true biblical views? Who is behind changing the laws of marriage between a man and a woman? Who do you think is behind Madeline O'Hara, the woman who tried to take prayer and out of public school, excuse me. Who do you think is behind taking the Bible commandments out of the court cases and out and resting your hand and saying, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you what? I believe in something else. No, I don't believe in that. No, I will not swear upon that. Who do you think is behind the idea that men or women can say, I have a brand new identity, so I don't mind changing clothes in whatever restroom I want to go into a restaurant or to a shopping store? Who do you think is behind the cults and the occult and prosperity teachers saying, oh, if you put your hand on this or if you give enough money, then God will bless you doing this and doing that? Who do you think is behind all that? It's all about them. Who do you think was behind the Pharisees, the legalistic views? Who do you think is behind the people that said, don't worry about the Word of God? We're in a totally different world. We're not living 2,000 years ago. Who is behind all this stuff? Who was behind Adolf Hitler? Who was behind any other people that does not have the mind of God? There's only two ways that you could be. You either for God or you are against God. Period. Period. You either have God's will in your mind, in your heart, or you don't. Good news. Let's end on here. John 12:31. The time for judging the world has come when Satan, the ruler, the prince of this world, will be casted out. 1 John 4:4. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the verse of the week, he that is in you is greater than what, church family? Let's do that again. He that is in you is greater
than he who is in the world.
When you have the Holy Spirit in you, you just say, Jesus. It's his name above all names. It was his scripture that removed Satan out. It's his name that's going to help you. You know, over 35 times in military battles in the Old Testament, over 35 times it was mentioned about a fortress. Do you know almost every single one of those was not talking about a real fortress? It was a metaphor for God Almighty to be your salvation, your protector, your refuge, fighting for you, defending you, helping you, serving you. It's in Jesus' name that your fortress is there. Let's pray. Lord, simply, I just want to say thank you. That God, that you are our protector, our shield, our refuge, our fortress, our salvation. And I pray that each day that, Lord, that we will wake up and we make sure that we have placed on the full armor of God. That we will make sure that we have the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth. I pray that our feet will be fitted firm, Lord, and going to the direction to pursue you. I pray that, God, that when there's times of oppression that may be facing or depression or things that may happen to Christians, they understand that there will never be possession because we have the Holy Spirit within us. I pray that, Lord, that even though we know that you allow things to happen in this world, we know that it is in Jesus' name, we know it is your name that can help us and guide us through each and every circumstance of this world. I pray that, Lord, that we will be comforted, that, Lord, that we will be excited, that, Lord, that we will know that you are our victory and that you already have won the war. So even though that we have talked about some pretty hard things, and even though that we need to know truth of the same things that John and Job and the Apostle Paul and many people as well as yourself had faced, you want us to know the truth so that the truth will set us free and the truth will help direct us that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come to the Father except through you. I pray that if there's anyone here today that has not placed their trust in you, that maybe going through some hard times or maybe saying, you know what, this has been about me, this has been about my agenda. It's not about where I am no longer with you, Lord, that I've been making decisions about whatever else. And so I need to realize there's only two ways. It's either your way or it's my way. It's either your way or it's Satan's way. And I don't want to be on that other team. And I pray that I'm on the victorious team. I pray that I truly understand that you are with us, that you'll never forsake us, and that you will be with us till the end of time. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.